Well, it's good to be back with you again this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. We just ask your blessing upon this time together. Lord, help us, Father, to realize your salvation, Father. Lord, thank you for all that you do for us. Forgive us where we fail you, Lord. Lord, we just ask that you would fill us with your Spirit, give us wisdom, understanding of your word and your ways, and thy kingdom come in our hearts, Lord. Thy will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. Again, verse 1. It says, "Do not judge so that you will not be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged, and by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you." Okay, I want to just go over that. This is another principle of how we are creating our own judge in eternity. You know, where sometimes we think of Jesus being a judge, and sometimes it brings fear and trembling into our hearts to stand before God and the great white throne, and sometimes there's a mystery of how it will go. But this verse and others, this is one element of it. We talked about forgiveness, the boys did, that how we forgive. If we will not forgive, we will not be forgiven. These things are factors in the judgment day. And we have control over some of these areas in our lives. If we forgive, God will forgive. It's very simple. So the judgment that we are creating, the judgment day, the great white throne judgment, when we all stand before the Lord, or we stand before the bar of Jesus, we have a hand in the justice that will be meted out on that day. We are creating the judge for ourselves. We have that in our power. Do not judge so that you will not be judged, for in the way you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. How we judge, the measure that we judge others is the way that we will be judged on the judgment day. How you treat others, how harsh you are with others, is how harsh God will be with you on the judgment day. Jesus said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Another element of how we have a hand in what kind of a judge we're going to face. You know, on the judgment day, when we all stand before God, there's actually going to be different levels of mercy, different levels of severity. You know, we think of a judge as just being completely blank and level, you know, just one way across the board, just full of harshness all the way through, or a merciful judge that's full of mercy all the way through. But this judge is a just judge. And it's not just going to be about the letter of the law or the strictness of how we perform our lives that's going to be the element of the judgment day. The element of the judgment day that we're going to face, the judge that we are creating right now in our own lives, is going to be a reflection of the individual being judged. A merciful person is going to find a merciful judge. A forgiving person is going to find a forgiving judge. A severe person is going to find a severe judge. A strict person is going to find a strict judge. What kind of judge do you want to face? Oh, we all want a merciful judge. Well, it don't matter what we want. That's not what going. We don't get to pick the merciful judge just because we want a merciful judge. We are creating the judge that you will stand before at the end of your life. You are creating the judge that you're going to stand before at the end of your life. Not by what you want, but how you deal with other people. How you deal with other people. For in the way you judge, you will be judged. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Just pretty basic. But yet, so hard for us to get a hold of and so hard for us to grasp. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye and do not notice the log or the beam that is in your own eye? And what I want to talk about this morning is that beam. In the prayer, we talked about realizing salvation. Help us realize salvation. What does it mean to realize salvation? The salvation that Jesus offers to each one of us. First of all, to realize that salvation, we must realize that we need salvation. And there's a lot of people that really don't. A lot of religious people that think, oh yeah, I've made some mistakes, but everybody sins. But I've actually performed pretty well. And I've taken my mistakes and I've quit doing them and I've created a religious persona about myself that's just pretty decent. You know, I read the Bible and I see what it says to do, so I do those things. And so I'm generally, you know, I'm doing pretty well. But for someone to realize salvation is someone to realize that I'm lost. There is actually not much in me that is good at all. We have the capability, we have the choices to make, but to really need salvation is to recognize that I am the guilty one here. No matter how it may appear, or no matter how religious I might have been, I'm not much. I deserve to go to hell. I deserve whatever judgment that God would offer me. And I basically throw myself at His feet. And I realize that Jesus died for my salvation, to save me. Those who really realize that get up from that and follow Him. And they obey Him. And they do His commandments because they love Him. Because they've realized what He's brought them out of. They've realized that they're lost. And that our only hope is in trusting Him. There's a lot of people say they trust Him because they want to be saved. But for someone who actually realizes, it changes their life. Because now they want to love Him. And they want to please Him. And they want to do what's right. And so they do. Because they love Him. Because they've realized the salvation that He has provided for them. Someone who has a beam in their eye is someone who has not realized that salvation. There's something, the way they look at others, they're seeing what's in their own heart. And they're able to see the speck that's in other people because their filter that they look through their eyes is all clouded. And so they look at everybody through this filter that's clouded by this heart that has never realized salvation. That log there, that beam that's in their eye, is just makes things look, take the shape of that beam, and it's just a reflection of what's in their own heart. Someone that has realized salvation, has realized forgiveness, and their need of it, is ready to offer that forgiveness to other people. It's a heart condition. It's not about, he broke my toy and I guess I'll get over it. Or I guess I won't charge them for it. That's not what he's talking about when he's talking about forgiveness. I forgive people because I see that I have been forgiven. That's why I forgive people. It's not the level of crime that's been committed against me. It's the, I have found forgiveness. And that's all I can do but offer it to others. The story where the man owed the little bit of debt and the one that owed the great debt, and the one was forgiven, and then he went out and found the guy with the little bit of debt. Because he was counting numbers. He was counting what someone had done. Not, I've been forgiven. See, he was looking at the other people. Not, he was looking through the eyes of, I've been forgiven. That's how you change the great white throne judgment, the bar of Jesus that we'll stand before. That's how the judge is changed. That's how we affect the judgment we're going through. Because we found forgiveness ourselves. A person who's found forgiveness themselves can forgive others. Not just, oh, I guess I'll, he borrowed that tool of mine, or he borrowed my truck, or he borrowed my trailer, he borrowed something, and oh, I broke it. Ah, boy. I guess I'll forgive him and just forget about it. And then they ask again and want to borrow it again, and oh, but I better forgive them, so I'll let them have it. You're worried about your stupid truck or your car or your toy or whatever, your tool. Not about forgiveness. Forgiveness is much bigger than any of that. Forgiveness will matter on Judgment Day. Your junk won't. If we're looking at that beam and we're seeing everybody and we're seeing that speck where they've transgressed against us and we reflect and that speck becomes magnified, then that's what the beam is. The beam is just a reflection of what ain't in our heart. Guilt. Guilt is a beam. Guilt is a beam. When we've done things wrong, you can't see clearly anybody else. One of the boys, brothers, shared that whenever he can't forgive himself, you can't forgive yourself. And what does that do? When you can't forgive yourself, you're building a wall around yourself that keeps everybody else out. Guilt is one of the most destructive things in this world to people, to relationships, to churches. It's amazing how much different a guilty person acts. They can't forgive themselves. They're not seeing clearly. There's a big beam in front of their eye. And they look out and see all the specks in everybody else's eye because everything they see is tainted by this guilt. That's how we're going to be judged. True forgiveness has to start with ourselves. True forgiveness has to realize that in order to receive any salvation, you've got to forgive yourself too. Because if you're not forgiving yourself, you're thinking higher of yourself than you really are. You're thinking, you shouldn't have failed. I'm above it. I'm better than this. And you're kicking yourself because you did something stupid, because your pride is so big that you can't get over yourself. That you can't just say, I'm wrong. This is who I am. This is why Jesus died. But I'm so proud that I failed that I can't forgive myself. So it doesn't matter that Jesus died for me. Because I'm the problem. I can't forgive myself. It's thinking too high of yourself. It's arrogant and proud and thinking that you're above all of that. You can't realize the death and resurrection of Christ with that big old beam in your eye. And you look at others with that same idea. That's why it's hard to forgive others. You can't forgive yourself because you expect better of yourself. So whenever you look at somebody else and they'll fail, well, they ought to know better. They ought to be bigger than that. They ought to be better than that. So we have a hard time forgiving others. And it all comes right back to not realizing it ourselves. That's the judgment we're building. When we look at others through our own guilt, you know, it's amazing how much you can see what is in people's hearts by what they see in others. Someone that thinks that everybody is a thief and everybody's just out to get them, it's just a log. And they see a speck in everybody else's eye, but it's big, a big log in their eye because that's what they see. Someone that's always, oh, I'm going to be cheated. Somebody's going to cheat me. It's because you're wanting to cheat somebody else. And you don't want to be, someone's going to lie to me. You're looking at everybody as a liar. You're looking at everybody as a thief. Because the big old log in your eye, that's all it sees, is the thief and the liar that you are. Get that out of the way, and all those little specks don't seem so big anymore. Because it doesn't really matter if someone might lie to you, or someone might steal from you. Because you've got the log taken out of your own life. Trusting people. You know, trusting people didn't mean we've got this idea that if we trust somebody and they let us down, our whole life is ruined. You listen to a leader and something happens to that leader, your life is over because you were just a duped deceiver. Trusting people, if you get that log out of your eye, trusting people doesn't hurt you. The Bible talks about several ways of being deceived, and it's usually being deceived ourselves, and it's usually trying to protect ourselves so much that we don't ever trust anybody. And that leads us to deception. Trusting people does not hurt us. The reason we don't trust people is because we see what's in ourselves. We've got this big old beam in our eye that we can't trust anybody because we see how rotten and unfaithful and untrustworthy we are. So we don't trust anybody. Trust Jesus. Trust Him instead of your own efforts. And that big old beam just falls out of the way. And you can just trust people. You can take them out of their word. And if they fail, that's their problem, not yours. You know, one of the things I've noticed in strict societies, in strict churches, in strict families, there's one thing that's missing in all of those situations. Strict governments, there's never any trust in those situations. been to countries. You go into the country, communist country, they're strict. They've got 10 million rules to control everyone, and nobody trusts each other. They're afraid. I mean, we've been into places where they close the windows so that they could talk because they cannot even trust some of their own family. They can't trust their neighbor because they're afraid their neighbor's listening at the door to go tattle. And so they don't trust anybody. They feel like on every corner, and most of the cases it's this way, there's a spy just waiting to go tell the government that you're breaking the rules. They don't trust anyone. Oh, they're strict, but there's no trust. Societies that are super strict, they can't trust anyone. Churches. The stricter the church is, the less the people in it trust their brothers. They're all afraid of getting in trouble. They can't be themselves because they can't be trusted. They have to have rules to guard everything and every little detail of their lives, because nobody can be trusted. They don't trust each other. And there's people riding around, driving around, taking notes about how everybody's living, and they put them in their pocket. And then one day, they bring you up, and everybody whips out their notepad. And I saw him do this. I saw him do that. I saw him do that. Bunch of rats. That's what that produces. And it's all because it's a lack of faith. It's a lack of realizing that salvation yourself. It's a lack of realizing who I really am. So we have to watch everybody, just like the governments do. Just like the strict communist governments do, we got to watch everybody. Write down notes because I may need them one of these days. It's all this beam. Looking at everything through this beam. Instead of having all that cleared away. It happens the same way in families. You've got to trust each other. Why? If it has to be so strict, why? It's because there's a lack of trust there. And that lack of trust causes each other to be suspicious of each other. And that suspicion results in, I'm watching everything you do. I'm just waiting for you to get in trouble so I can run and report it, and I'll gain a little status with Daddy. I'll gain a little status with the bishop. I'll gain a little status with the government. It's not trust. It's not faith. That's the way the world operates. It's a big beam that looks on the outside like everything's great, but it's lacking faith. It's lacking trust. It's lacking the realization of the salvation that Jesus brought us, that we can taste of And then we can reflect back into the government, back into society, back into the church, and back into our families. That's what our judge is. When we've faced all of this and can experience this and give it back to others, our judge just gets more merciful, more forgiving, and kinder. But when it goes the other way, and this strictness and this severity and this, it just gets worse and worse, and our judge gets bigger and meaner and crueler and stricter. And there's more fear. And it builds and it builds and it builds. Salvation is a good thing. And when we truly realize it, we'll love the Lord. And forgiveness and mercy will just be like breathing to us. Cultivate that. Forgive yourself. See yourself as you really are. Quit thinking because you want to follow the Lord, you've got it all together now. We're creating our own judge. We're creating our own bar. May the Lord add His blessings. Anyone have anything to share?
Thank you. into